I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ and his shed blood and power to save. And Lord, by him that you've saved our souls. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of not only salvation, but that you saw fit to put us in your kind of church, who might worship you and serve you in her. Might have the fellowship and blessing of brothers and sisters in Christ that you've saved and added to the church, Lord, to serve you with them. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us. Help us we might serve you well here. We might be that light and that salt to this region and community, Father, that you would be pleased with. And Father, that your word might go out, the souls might be saved, added to the church, Father, and that your name might be lifted up here. We pray, Father, for those who are here this morning and not saved. We pray that you might touch them. Lord, that they might see the blessedness that is in Christ. And Lord, that you might save them and visit them as you only can. Help us, Father, to hear you and believe you and trust you in the words that you have for us. And Lord, give me utterance of your word. And Lord, just take me out of the way and use me, Lord, as you would see fit. Lord, that Christ might be lifted up. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Blessed are. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are." This word blessed, we need to have an understanding about it. And there's a thing here that the Lord has made and manifested or opened up unto me that I hope that I can relay it to you. Maybe you already know it. Maybe it's something that's there for you, and it's new to me, and it's old, and we can renew it again this morning for you. But that word blessed, it talks about being happy. It talks about rejoicing in the Lord because of what he's done. The blessings, the benefits, the things that he has bestowed, namely in salvation, that the Lord has given himself to us and we are made happy by him. It speaks of happiness and joy. It speaks of rejoicing in one. It speaks of being touched by God, our Creator. That's what that word blessed means. Turn over to Psalms chapter 1. The psalmist knew about this, and we don't want to spend a lot of time here, but we just want to refer to it. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. Here talking about this happiness in the Lord, not only being happy, not only being joyful, but because the reason for the joy, the reason for the blessedness, the reason for the happiness is because of the touch of God upon an individual. This word blessed speaks of that. But here in Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." There's a counsel that the ungodly puts out, a way and a working that they want to pursue. And the man that's going to be happy and rejoicing in the touch of the Lord upon them is not going to walk after that counsel, but is going to refrain from that counsel. It says, "Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." We see a progression that's here that's made manifest by this passage. It starts off speaking about walking, and then there's a progression and a normal course with wickedness and ungodliness that is just that downward spiral. "Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." He's going from walking to standing where sinners are congregated. We're all sinners. We know that. We understand that. But this is speaking about those that are pursuing mischief, that are up to things that are no good, that are pursuing sin. They're pursuing the demise of others. They're pursuing things that are not right. Happy is the man that doesn't stand in that way. If there's going to be joy, if there's going to be happiness, it's not going to be walking after that counsel, and it's not going to be standing in that way of sinners. Then the progression continues on, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The man's going from walking to standing to sitting. sitting and scorning and railing upon those that would seek the Lord and desire the way of the Lord, to seek his righteousness, to hold true to his word and those things that the Lord speaks, that those that desire what the Lord says and what his instruction and what his doctrine is, those that are happy won't be found fighting against and bucking against the word of the Lord and the way of the Lord. Won't be found walking, won't be found standing, won't be found sitting in this. But it says here, the man that's blessed, the man that's happy, the man that's been touched by God, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, look out. That word law, we don't like that word law, do we? Oh, it's talking about the word of God. The what God has said is his law. It is his word. He's established the plumb line of truth. And it's by what the Lord says is how we know it. We don't know it in of ourselves, do we? No, not at all. But the man that's blessed, the man that's happy and rejoicing in the touch of the Lord upon him, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, in his word, if you will, doth he meditate day and night. He thinks about it. He mulls it over. He rejoices in it in his heart. He sings to the Lord about it. He asks the Lord about those things that he doesn't understand, asking the Lord to give him insight and wisdom about those things that God has said. That's the happy man. That's the blessed man. And so with those things said, we see the Lord Jesus Christ here with his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. Turn back to there, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3. We want to see what the Lord has here about blessed. Blessed are happy and rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord because of his touch upon. We want to see a progression that's listed here. It's a thing I had never seen before. I'd always had taken these accounts here. I think there's seven of them, six or seven of them. I'd always taken them individually. I never saw the progression that seems to be manifested here. And that's what we want to see here this morning. Blessed, the Lord says in verse number 3, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy is the one that is poor in spirit. Well, who is it that's poor in spirit? Well, naturally, it's all of us, isn't it? We're poor in spirit. Our spirits are dead. In and of ourselves, because of sin, because of our Adam, our father Adam's fall into sin and his plunging us into sin because of our willfulness and our disobedience, our depravity, our spirit is dead. What it means to be poor is you haven't got any. That's what it means to be poor. You might be poor in money. You might be poor in ability. Might be poor in tact. Might be poor in vocabulary. Might be poor in understanding about a particular subject. Be very knowledgeable in the understanding of another. To be poor is just to mean you don't have it. And we're poor naturally in spirit. But oh, what a blessing it is when the Lord, through his word and through his spirit, shows us that we are poor in spirit. Amen? Yes. That is when the light shines, when the day dawns, when Jesus Christ is manifested unto the sinner. Blessed are the poor in spirit that know it, that know they're poor in spirit, and they see Jesus. The Lord saves them and gives his spirit within. It's manifested unto them. It's shown unto them that we are poor in spirit, and we need a Savior. We need something that is not within us, something without us, to give us life. Happy, amen, is what the Lord says. Rejoicing in the Lord, amen, are the poor in spirit. And there's a promise that goes along with it, isn't it? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Isn't that what the Lord wants to do for his children? It is the Father's good pleasure, children, to give you the kingdom. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit that know that they're poor in spirit, that know they need the salvation of the Lord, that the salvation of the Lord has visited them and they have repented, they have believed, and they have trusted in Christ. The Lord has saved their souls. We've got a promise that the kingdom of heaven is ours. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? It is. It is. It's a rejoicing indeed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Salvation. Oh, what greater thing is there than being saved by our Creator. Amen? There's no greater thing to have the salvation of the soul. Then he goes on here in verse number 4. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed, happy, touched by God, are they that mourn. Why would the Lord say that? When we consider about mourning, what is the greatest thing over which we should mourn? In the context of our entire existence, in the context of our being before our Creator, what is there that would be top of the list and slate for us to mourn? Is it not our sin against our God? Amen. Yes. Repentance. Oh, we mourn over our sin when the light of the Lord shines. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit and know it. Blessed are they that mourn over sin. We've become repentant over our sin because of the word of the Lord coming to us. We see that we are sinners. We are guilty. We have sinned against our great God. And it causes us to mourn, doesn't it? When the Lord visited you and brought his word to you and showed you that you were guilty, nobody else mattered, that you were guilty, you're that sinner that needed saving, did it not cause godly sorrow? Amen, amen, it did. It did. And the Lord says, happy, touched by God, is the man that mourns over his sin. What's the promise there to this one that mourns? For they shall be comforted. What greater comfort is there to know that the Savior died on Calvary's tree for your sins, for my sins? What greater comfort is there than that? Oh, my sin stands against me. I'm guilty before God. I have no hope in and of myself, but Jesus died for me. Oh, we're comforted in the Lord, aren't we? Of my great sin, my great debt against my God and Creator, who is holy and just and righteous in all things. And I stand there guilty and far, far away from Him. Jesus died for me. He died for me. I tell you what, there's no greater comfort than that, is there? No greater comfort indeed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, happy, rejoicing in the Lord because of His touch. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Meekness. Meekness is a thing that's not really understood about in our society and in our culture anymore. Meek doesn't mean weak. Meek means being self-controlled. Meek means having the ability to do a thing, but just because you have the ability to do it, you don't. Scripture says that Moses was the most meek man upon the earth, face of the earth. He killed a man with his bare hands. He had a presence evidently about him and a power about his person. He had self-doubt about his ability to speak, but when we look into the scriptures and see that the Lord used him to write the first five books of the Bible, and the great message there in Deuteronomy, or a couple of messages that he preached to the children of Israel before they went into the promised land, he didn't have any problem with speaking either, did he? And then the disobedience of the people that he was called with the Lord to lead out of the land of Egypt, he bore up under that, and even when they were against him, he interceded for them, didn't he? He loved them very much. Amen. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. How would it be that that would apply to the Lord speaking here to his disciples? Well, in and of ourselves, we are not meek. We want our own way, don't we, naturally? Indeed, we do. That's the sinner's greatest problem, is that he wants his way. That's what's happened because of the depravity and that which has been handed down to us from Adam. We seek our own way. You're here this morning and you're not saved. You've not repented of your sins. You've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are seeking your own way. But you know what the meek do? The meek, at the utterance of the word of the Lord say, "Yes, Lord." Meekness. Meekness speaks of submission. Not what I want, but what the Lord wants. Blessed, happy, touched by God are those that have been made meek, those that are repentant, those that say, "Yes, Lord." And what's the promise? "For they shall inherit the earth." Inherit the earth. See, conquerors and rulers among men have never been meek, have they? Alexander the Great was not a meek man. He pursued, did he not? And he pursued at a young age, and he went and he conquered. Nebuchadnezzar, before the Lord saved him, I believe that he was saved, but before the Lord saved him, was not a meek man. Because he could conquer, he did so. But those that have been saved by the Lord and touched by the Lord, we that have been saved and made happy in the Lord because of his touch upon our lives, by repentance, by saying, "Yes, Lord, your way and not mine," meekness has been found. Blessed are the meek. Because what is it I mentioned earlier that the Lord says that the Father wants to do? Give us the kingdom. Where is it that the host of the Lord and the children of God will be with the Lord forever in the new heaven and the new earth? Amen? What is it that the Lord said he has gone to prepare, and if he goes to prepare, he's coming back for his people? Mansions? Amen? A place to dwell with Jesus forever? Amen? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that say, "Yes, Lord." We say, "Yes, Lord," to his word in repentance, for they shall inherit the earth. You see the progression that's here? And then verse number 6, blessed, happy, touched by God are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The sinner in and of himself wants no righteousness or holiness of God, does he? Doesn't comprehend it. Doesn't know what it is. Doesn't have a clue that it's a right or good thing, following the Lord and obeying him in his word. Oh, but the soul that's been saved has a hunger for the Lord, doesn't he? The soul that's been saved and redeemed said, "I want more of God than I want more and more of God. I want to be in fellowship with him. I want to learn more about him." You see, one that has been saved and they just have a soaking and a desire for the word of God and to learn the way of God in that. That's what the blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Isn't that interesting that the Lord says it? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteousness of God. What greater explanation of desire can be relayed than to be hungry or to be thirsty? And the Lord says, happy, happy, touched by God is the one that desires the way and will and word of the Lord more. Hungers after it like his body craves food. Thirsts after it like his body craves a cool drink of water. I think I'll take one. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. See the progression that's here? Poor in spirit, needing salvation. Mournfulness, mourning, and repenting, or mourning over sin, meekness, repentance, and believing the Lord and trusting in him and his way. And then because of that new light within, the spirit within, a hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. And what's the promise? For they shall be filled. The Lord's going to wipe all tears away, isn't he? He's going to make the former things pass away, isn't he? We're going to enjoy the Lord, and we're going to be impervious to sin. Sin will not have an effect on us. We'll be there like Christ, having a body like his, having the entire salvation of the Lord manifested in us and revealed in us, as we'll see a little bit about that in Ephesians this afternoon. We'll be there with the Lord, and it'll be total and complete enjoyment and blessing from him with no even the speck of onslaught or touch of sin upon us. We'll be filled, won't we? And be filled for eternity. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And then it goes on to verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Because then the way of life is changed. Because of the salvation of the Lord and the witness of His Word and the working of His Spirit, being made a new man, we who have had mercy extended unto us by our Heavenly Father, we then have a desire to be merciful also, don't we? Yeah, our way is changed. Our selfishness is put aside because our Lord Jesus Christ was not selfish. Graciousness is ensued because our Lord was gracious unto us, was He not? And we have that towards others where before we might have been ready to fight at the drop of a hat because of the working of God within. We're willing to let it pass. We're willing to, rather than take up and go to a fist fight, we rather ensue and plead that one that has maybe even done us wrong, that right might be enjoined. Amen? A change in heart, a change in function. That which has been extended to us, we extend to others in our behavior. Kindness, if you will. Kindness, because of the kindness shown unto us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And oh, we have, hadn't we? I did not get that which I deserved. That's what mercy is. I had a death sentence coming as a sinner. But the Lord Jesus Christ took that. He was merciful unto me. And rather than meting it out to me, the Son of God took it for me. He was merciful to me. Oh, happy, touched by God, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then it goes on as we see this continued progression. I believe we see sanctification here. We see perseverance here, don't we, in this progression in these things. Blessed are the pure in heart. Happy are the pure in heart. How can a sinner get a pure heart? How can a sinner be pure in heart? By the heart transplant of the Lord. Amen. Part of that blessing of salvation, being given a heart of flesh instead of that heart of stone, the Lord working that miracle within the sinner that he might be receptive to the wooing and work of the Holy Spirit, that he might be receptive to the Word of God as it's preached and it's taught and it comes and enjoins and engages them, that individual. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed is that one that's been made clean by the Lord. I have not washed myself. He has washed me. Yes. And what's the promise to the pure in heart? They shall see God. See God. We see Him by faith, and we believe and trust in Him by faith now. But it says here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. We'll see Him. We'll see our Savior face to face that loved us and died for us some 2,000 years ago on that cruel cross. I'll see Him face to face one day. Amen. Because I've been made pure. Amen. By Him. Right. And you know what? That doesn't make me sad. Amen. Makes me happy. Makes me rejoice in Him. Amen? Right. It's a blessed, blessed thing. And then we see here in verse number 9, blessed, happy, touched by God are the peacemakers. Because that which I've been blessed with, that which I've been touched with, that which I've been rescued with, I want other sinners to have. I want peace that has been made on my behalf, between me and my God, my Creator. I want that peace for others around me. Amen. I want them to know the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Blessed, happy are the peacemakers. And what's the promise that's there? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh, we need to understand that as children, as being saved, we are representative of our Heavenly Father, aren't we? Yeah. Amen. And to be correctly and properly representative of Him, how is it that we need to be? We need to be like Him. Amen. And He is the one that sent the Word. He is the one that determined to send the Savior. He is the one that has come to sinners and brought salvation by His right hand, His strong hand, and His mighty arm. And we can't save them. But oh, don't you want peace to be made between them and God also? Because of the joy and the touch by the Lord that we have, don't we want that for others? Indeed, we do. Blessed are the peacemakers, because for they shall be called the children of God. I want the same salvation for others around me. And then verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Progressive sanctification, perseverance of the saints. We see it here in these scriptures, don't we? That progression that's going on that's here. Because what's going to happen for the child of God that desires the Lord, that hungers and thirsts for His righteousness and righteousness in His Word, desires for peace to be made for others, the world will not understand it. The world will reject it. The Lord says, if they've put me to death, let it be no marvel that they'll come after you. And the Lord is very open and very plain about it. Blessed are they, happy. How could we be happy? Touched by God. How could we be touched by God and enjoy such a thing? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But the Lord was. He was persecuted for righteousness' sake, wasn't He? On our behalf. No wonder that it would come to us. And was the Lord happy about it? Oh yeah, in total He was. He bore that burden. But He said there before His crucifixion, He said, I am in a strait. I have this desire, I have this upon me to be baptized with this baptism that I'm going to be baptized with, His crucifixion, His death, His burial, His resurrection. He said, and I'm in a strait till it be accomplished. I came into this world for this purpose. And shall I say at this point that I be delivered from it? But it tells us, does it not tell us in Hebrews that for the joy that was laid before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Blessed, happy, touched by God are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for our own self-will, not for our own sin and wickedness, not for our own fleshly pursuits, but for that which is right and righteous of the Lord. The world will misunderstand, and the world will not like living and standing and following the Lord and following Him and His Word. But we have a promise. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes a promise to His children. It is the Father's desire and purpose to give you the kingdom. A little bit of toil, a little bit of suffering, a little bit of hardship in this life compared to the blessing of eternity and that which the Lord has in store for His people. Oh, it should make us rejoice. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, He goes on, blessed, happy are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Not telling the truth, but making up lies. Our Lord was lied on. The first church was lied on. And the disciples there after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they were engaged by the religious elite of the day and they were told, don't preach in his name anymore. And they took them and they beat them and they imprisoned them and they let them go. They went and met back together with the church and were thankful that they had been able to suffer shame for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. May the Lord help us if that ever comes our way. Amen? Because that'll be. Because see, how will it be if we fail in that? It'll be a grief, won't it? It'll be a condemnation to us as the children of God. How is it when the Lord tells you, go speak to that person. Go tell them about my salvation. Go tell them about me. Go tell them about how I saved you. And we don't do that. Go give them a tract. Right? We know that. There's grief with that, isn't there? Oh, but when we obey, when we go on and do it, is there not joy? Not a self-righteousness, not a thing that we draw and bring to ourselves, that we've out of obligation obeyed the Lord, but that we've been there in what he wants us to do. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are ye, verse 11, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Look over here in Luke chapter 6. Blessed, happy we should be, touched by the Lord. Being in a situation and you just don't know what to say and you say, Lord, help me. Give me the words to say. Give me the wisdom to speak. And when we go ahead and we engage the situation, the Lord blesses with that. To his praise and his honor and glory. To be there and be an instrument used by the Lord in whatever the situation may be. It's a blessing, isn't it? Indeed it is. Here in Luke chapter 6, it tells about this same account. Luke chapter 6, verse number 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, the Lord says. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. Amen. I don't know when the last time it was that I jumped for joy. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to do so. When the accusation is false, when you've taken it and done it for my name's sake, when you've stood in my word and you've obeyed me in it, and folks that stand against that and they speak this evil, he said, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. The Lord has saved us and given us himself. But on top of that, he gives rewards and blessings, doesn't he? Praise be to his holy name. He can do such a thing for us and has done so. Verse 23, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Nothing new. Been abusing the people of God and men of God all down through the ages. Nothing new. Nothing new. Back in Matthew 5. Back in Matthew 5. In verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It's not a new thing. Nothing new. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn over their sin. Blessed are they, are the meek that say yes, Lord, and no to self. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. Blessed are those that are merciful unto those round about them, as the Lord has been merciful to us. Blessed are the pure in heart that have been changed by God, been made clean and white and holy before him because of the work of his Son. Blessed are the peacemakers, those that desire the salvation of the Lord to come to others and are a witness for him. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and blessed when the world stands against you and reviles you and says all manner of evil falsely, rejoice. Is it not saying? Is this passage not saying, blessed are the redeemed? Amen. Isn't that what it's saying? Isn't the progression that's there? That sanctification that's being set apart more and more for the Lord. When the Word has come to us, the Spirit has come to us, the Lord has saved us to be set apart more and more and more for Him. Blessed are the redeemed. And let them say so. Is it not saying, blessed are the children of the Lord? Isn't that what it's saying? This is to the disciples. The Lord is teaching the disciples. Blessed are the children. Happy and touched by God are the Lord's children. Blessed are the redeemed. Blessed are the children of the Lord. Is it not saying, blessed are the saved that are serving their Savior? Is it not saying that? Amen. Blessed, happy, touched by God are those that are saved and serving their Savior. Praise the Lord for it. Happy, touched by God. Verse 13, you're the salt of the earth. He goes on to tell us about what our job is. Oh, blessed we are. Blessed we are, touched by God and happy and joyful in Him. You are the salt of the earth. Children, blessed children. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If salt's not salty, what's it good for? Amen?
Amen.
If the blessing, the happiness, the joy, the touch by God is not made manifested in our lives to where we make a difference, why is it that someone is persecuted for righteousness' sake? I'm not talking about going out just for the sake of stirring people up, but just standing and what is your responsibility in your life and in your job at school and the church and what standing in what the Word of God says, referring to that, being filled with that, and then exception to that, being taken by the world or fought against or bucked against at where you work, by your family, by your neighbors, whatever it is. Will anything ever be affected that way if we don't stand and make a difference? If the Lord would have just came and kind of been plain vanilla, so to speak, there'd have been no difference. But he said of the religious elite, he said, I came to reveal the leadership's sin. Said, they have no more cloak for their sin. I've revealed it. And how aggressive was the Lord Jesus Christ? The most aggressive thing that he did was throw the traitors out of the temple. But the rest of the time, what did he do? Did he take up a sword to fight? Did he take up a campaign to defeat a region or a city? Did he ever seek to throw down any king or any ruler? Did he stir up the people to rebellion into a mob that they might riot, they might make false accusations to bring down a king? No. What did he do? He just preached and told the Word of God, and that was enough to stir people up. That was enough to stir people up. You are the salt of the earth, verse 13. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If salt's not salty, what's it good for? It's henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. You know what? If we don't live like the Lord's children, we might as well not try to convince anybody that we are. No sense in claiming to be a Christian if it can't be told. If the only way that folks know that we claim to be a Christian or a child of God is by us telling them, then we might as well just not even waste our time telling them. Because
right.
It needs to be seen.
Because
that's the way it was with the Lord. And that's what the Lord expects. Amen?
Right.
He expects us to be salty. We that have been blessed, we that have been touched by Him, we that have been saved by Him and blessed in all these ways. He goes on here to say in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Salvation has come. It's to shine forth brightly to the world around about. And I think we can even take this and apply this to the church. And it's to shine forth brightly from our church, from our assembly, to this region where we are. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. None other. There are none other that is the light of the world other than those that are saved. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither, verse 15, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel basket, but on a candlestick. There in the Lord's church, I believe. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house, a witness one to another. We that have been blessed, we that have been made happy, we that have been touched by the Lord are to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Amen. Yes, that is what we are to do. Let your light so shine before men. This blessing, this touch by me that I have blessed you with and put upon your life, let it shine. Let it be seen. Let the touch by me upon you, and let that resultant joy and happiness, let it be seen by the world. Amen. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The good works are to be seen by others that they might glorify not us, but glorify God. Blessed are the redeemed. Blessed are the children of the Lord. Blessed are the saved that are serving their Savior. How about you this morning? Are you saved? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you redeemed? Have you been redeemed by Him? Are you showing forth that blessedness of the touch of God upon you? Are you being salt and light in your part of the world, in the church that the Lord's placed you in? That's what we need to do. We need to be showing it forth. Who would want what we have if we go around all long-faced and mully-grubby all the time? Amen? That's right. Right. But we're to be a good witness of what the Lord, how the Lord's made us happy and how we rejoice in Him. If you're here and you're not saved, that's what you need. You need this blessed touch of the Lord upon you. Not your way, not your will, but the Lord's. Through repentance and faith, salvation is extended to sinners just like you. Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Not accept Him, but receive Him on His terms, His word, His way, His salvation. We encourage you to do so. We pray for you that you will.